Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for global frameworks like ISO 27001 and SOC 2, and the latest European frameworks like the EU AI Act, DORA, and NIS 2, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Over 8,000 global companies like Synthesia, Flow Health, and Cora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Wondery listeners get a special offer of $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/wondery. That's vanta.com/wondery for $1,000 off.
Every big moment starts with a big dream. But what happens when that big dream turns out to be a big flop? From Wondery and Atwill Media, I'm Misha Brown, and this is The Big Flop. Every week, comedians join me to chronicle the biggest flubs, fails, and blunders of all time, like Quibi.
It's kind of like when you give yourself your own nickname and you try to, like, get other people to do it.
And the 2019 movie adaptation of Cats.
Like, if I'm watching the dancing and I'm noticing the feet aren't touching the ground, there's something wrong with the movie.
Find out what happens when massive hype turns into major fiasco. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the wonderful and glorious Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hi.
What's new? What's going on? Are you excited for this week? We have a lot of stuff going on this week.
Yeah, busy week, getting ready to go to Seattle. Exciting times, okay?
Exciting, exciting times. That's right. We are doing a show this Thursday in Seattle for the Real Housewives of Miami season premiere. That's what we're going to recap there. And by the way, on Friday, I was driving down the street and I looked to my left and there was Gertie. It was just like, you know, a few door fronts down from Sirius XM. So it made sense. It was like not just like a random Gertie in the wild, but Gertie herself was right there. And I wanted to pull over and be like, Gertie, but I Gertify me right now and take a photo with her and everything. But I had to get to the UPS store before it closed. So priorities, unfortunately. But
you chose UPS over saying hi to Gertie? Damn. That's low. That's cold.
I know. Well, you know. So also, I would have had to pull the car over and find a place. It would have been a whole thing. But it was Gertie, and it got me excited because Miami is back this week. I'm so excited for this. So we are going to the Neptune on Thursday to recap the season premiere. We are so excited to go to the Pacific Northwest. It wasn't originally on our schedule, but we found a way to do it, and we are really thrilled. And then next week, we have our series finale. Well, actually, no, not series finale. Well, series finale for the concert, our tour, for the Mounting Hysteria tour next week. Our final show in LA at the Fonda Theater on the 19th. So come join us. Tickets are at watchwhatcrappens.com. That's where the links are. So come join us there. Also, Patreon. We are doing Love Island recaps really every day, and we're having so much fun with it. We already have lots of hot takes and opinions, and so come join us for that. Patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens, and also with Crappens On Demand, you can watch us. So those are all the fun things. And then for me personally to promote, I did talk about last week how I was going to try to do something about my Norway trip. So I did make a little video where I basically went through a bunch of slideshows, bunch of images, like a slideshow. It goes on for 90 minutes. It's long. It's like a whole podcast episode.
90 minutes. Oh my
gosh, really? It was a lot.
Wow.
But you know what though? You can always just turn it off if you get bored.
No, I'm not like, wow, that's too long. I just didn't know it was.
No, it is too long.
Damn.
It is too long.
It's like your own travel show. I love that.
I just sat there and talked. But like, when people come back from vacation and you have to sit and look through all their pictures and it's so boring. The difference is that I'm doing it, but you can just when you've had your fill, you can just end or you can come back later. So
no, don't be like that. Yeah. You can
no,
come
but
back
I want to
later.
Be realistic. Mark. I want to be realistic. I started up an NBD fancy YouTube channel for it. This is one video. So anyway, it's just good. This, I wrote a whole Substack about it. So
I love that. That's great.
mbdfancy.substack.com if you want to read about my Norwegian adventures. And then the last thing I want to say, Ronnie, actually a bit more seriously, but I want to tell people about this. No. This is for real. This is a PSA that I'm giving to everyone. That on the day that I flew off to Norway, our carbon monoxide alarm went off in our house. And basically, Dom was here and he was like, that sounds strange. And basically just, you know, he evacuated the house. He called 911 and the gas company came, and the gas company basically said, if the batteries in your smoke detector had failed, like, he would have been dead, which was really, really scary. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is truly as a PSA to people, because it's so, like, it's really scary with the carbon monoxide. Make sure your batteries are up to date. But also, even more, this is the real PSA part of it, is that the smoke alarms, if they do four beeps, and not just your standard whatever other beeps, but four beeps, that means carbon monoxide. So part of it also is that if Dom hadn't recognized that the smoke alarm was doing a different kind of sound, he also would have been in big trouble. So, like, I just want to put it out there that if you hear your smoke alarm doing four beeps, like, evacuate, because it could have been a tragic situation here. So it's this is a true PSA, Ronnie.
Oh my gosh.
And it's not to bring the mood down. It's actually just to empower people and just know this, just getting the word out. Just keep your ears out for the right number of beeps on your smoke detector and make sure they're bad.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Because I think we all think that, like, with a smoke detector, oh, well, if there's smoke, we'll smell it, whatever. But when it comes to carbon monoxide, you don't smell it and you don't see it. So that's my update, everyone.
Damn. Yeah, don't die.
So that is that. But now, speaking of toxic things, shall we talk about what's coming up? Oh, we have crappy hour tonight, which we have all this Atlanta shit is going nuts right now. And we're going to be talking about that tonight at Crappy Hour. So that's a promo for that.
Yeah, we'll be talking about this Brit lawsuit and, you know, getting or not coming to the reunion and all that stuff. We will talk about that tonight overall in Crappy Hour. But that is going on. Fucking Brit. Shocker. Yeah. I knew when her statement came out, she was going to be suing Bravo, because it was like, I look forward to getting revenge or something. And I was like, oh, she didn't say getting revenge, but I look forward to seeking retribution or something. And I was like, retribution? Get a job. She's going to sue.
Get a job.
You know, my first thought was, here comes another lawsuit. She's jumping on the Bravo lawsuit bandwagon.
I can confirm that Ronnie is not lying, because I hung out with Ronnie Thursday night and we talked about this. And Ronnie, you said, that means the lawsuit's coming. And the next day it broke that she was suing Bravo for $20 million. So
yeah,
you definitely called million. That one.
You're totally going to get that, Brett. Good luck, sucker.
Mm-hmm.
For defamation. I mean, I guess we'll talk about it later, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
About that.
Also,
I'm not sure how this whole thing's going to pan out, but we'll talk over all of it tonight. Who knows? But right now we're in Grenada for day two. And everybody's waking up, and it was a week where there's a lot of controversy. So Bravo's like, Bravo doesn't release screeners whenever there's any kind of controversy. So I actually came into this episode thinking, oh my God, they didn't release a screener. I wonder what happens in the episode. Nothing. Nothing did, Bravo. Excuse you. Like, what are you worried about? Like, what was the screener going to do? You know, I guess they didn't want to feed the narrative while all this stuff is going on. But nothing,
I think
nothing
maybe happened. Maybe that's what it was. I mean, I think a lot went on. They went to a waterfall.
I just mean stuff that is controversial.
They cooked a meal.
Yeah. There's a nanny that's really shitty.
Shitty nanny.
Yeah. Another PSA. Carbon shitty monoxide and shitty nannies.
So it's day two, and the show is doing this thing that this like motif that they've been maintaining all season long, which is like, look at what everyone's doing through the eyes of a viewfinder. So or like not a viewfinder, what are those slide
like
things,
an old-timey camera, or
like, you know, when you like it's this, you insert the circle disc and then it is a view. Is that a viewfinder? No, that's
a camera. It's a viewfinder.
Well, whatever it is, they're doing it. So we're seeing them all hanging out and everything, talking about how they slept. And Drew Sidora felt rejuvenated. She's like, I slept like a whole baby in my little twin bed, honey. I'm like, actually, I'm sure she did, knowing that Ralph was not downstairs for once.
Yeah. And then Kelly's talking about how grateful they are to be there. You know, it's just like good waking up stuff. They say rejuvenate a lot because this is their rejuvenation trip to the point where it's called rejuvenation date or part two. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, because part one was reset.
This is kind of like watching
reset.
It's kind of watching Love Island, where everybody's like, oh my God, we need to like reset our relationships and really re-get to know each other. You guys have known each other 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we stop acting like you need a reset? You don't need a reset. You need a start. You need to start.
So then Britt is FaceTiming with her her husband, who that's going to be a real loss for the show now that Britt is going to be leaving, not having Mike Eady. I mean, he's just full of so much charisma and he's just so fascinating. The camera loves him. So he is FaceTiming with her and he's like, what do you have around your neck? And she's like, well,
you know, you told me I couldn't bring my diamonds on the island, partially because I don't have diamonds. But so I got my tribal vibes on. So I found like a necklace in the souvenir shop.
You're going to return that, right, after you're done with this trip?
Of course. You told me that I could bring up my diamonds on the trip right around the time I could bring my marble countertops on the trip.
You mean when I actually buy them for you?
Yeah.
So then we see
Mike with the real-time audience reaction to Britt. Like, he's like... Every time we see Mike, he's just like, gross. Why are you calling me?
I know. So, and then Kelly is saying back in her room, she's like, this feels good. I mean, it seems like Drew and Portia, just that it looks like they're ready to move forward. And we see a flashback to last night where Drew and Portia are like giggling and joking around with each other again. And it seems like they're all fine now.
That's they're being fakey bakey with each other. Drew's like, oh my God, Portia, I might fall down this hill. Will you catch me? And Portia's like, I'll catch you. And then she pretends to fall and then Portia doesn't catch her. And then she's like, just kidding. I am catching you.
And then Drew is telling Cynthia, she's like, you know, on the ride home, Brittany ended up throwing up. And Cynthia's like, I heard. She goes, we had to pull over on the side of the road. And then we see footage of Britt puking on this outside the van.
Like, this was like not even like a puke. This was like a, oh my God, I'm gonna barf. And then they open the door. And then as she's leaving the door, you just hear. So she didn't make it. She was walking out the door and I guess barfed all over herself to the point where she had to take off her corset.
Yeah. The real victim, her corset. So Cindy's like, well, I guess she's lightweight. Yeah. So then we see Britt FaceTime. She's like,
babe, I had to take my corset off last night. They were like, Britt, you got your titties out.
And so then let's see. So Kelly's saying, you know, today's going to even be better for renewal because, you know, we're renewing and we're finding peace and it's renewal. So it's going to be great.
And Shamia goes, yeah, I mean, if you can't release it, I mean, that's you then. That's you, says Shamia, who winds up actually carrying a grudge about the shots the whole episode, which I supported her on. But I also acknowledge that she was actually being pretty petty about that.
I'm surprised I'm not surprised because you really like Shamia, but I'm surprised that you would take this stance because we just talked in Love Island about how your longtime nemesis for like years now in recaps has been the person forcing shots on people. And that was Shamia. And now you're taking the stance of standing up for Shamia, even though she is that girl who's forcing shots on everybody.
It's not the forcing on the shots. It's that like, I don't know you and you're trying to like, present like you're this fun time party girl, like shot, like hey shot. I'm like, I don't know who you are, but like if you're with friends and your friend is like shots, who wants shots, I'm okay with that. I just don't want like, I don't want to walk in the door at a party and some girl comes up to me where the energy is like gays love me. I'm like, I haven't decided that I've loved you yet, and you're gonna try to like act like you're like the life of the party when I know you're a nightmare. I can see you're a nightmare, but like someone in a friend group, they can offer me a shot, and I can.
Yeah, but she's being like a shot enforcer, which you generally don't like, and that's what Shamia's doing. I'm just pointing it out. You know what? You feel how you feel. I'm just saying.
I'm saying there are nuances in my shot situation.
I look at it as like I'm getting something for free. So it's like, even though I might not want your Costco sample, I appreciate you for offering it, you know, and it's fun for me to say no to things. So anybody feel free to offer me shots because I love going no. Thanks.
I think it what I will say is that, like, Shamia doing this whole, like, shot o'clock thing does feel very fake to me, though, also. I will say that. Because Shamia has spent this whole season, she's like, in her matronly phase. You know, she's got her little, you know, Candy Burris's first season haircut, you know, and she's just wearing these sort of, like, I don't know, very, to me, she looks matronly. Maybe she's not. Maybe, you know, and correct me if you don't think she's matronly. But I think she looks matronly. I think her vibe is very matronly now. But she's still trying to be like, shot o'clock. And I'm like, this feels fake. But it feels a different kind of fake to me than Huda on Love Island.
Yeah.
It's a different style.
Well, it's a very, like, look how much fun I am all the time.
I'm still fun fakeness, as opposed to someone who's trying to say, I'm always fun.
Okay. And so here's what I consider fun: watching Angela try to get Charles to be somebody that he's not. So here she goes again, trying to call Charles and he's not answering. And you know, they had this plan, like, okay, Charles, I'm going to call you at a certain time and it's on camera. It's a housewife's trope. We have to do it. I'm going to be calling you. You answer. I tell you about my trip. And it's just like ring, 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 ring. This is Charles. Brussels sprouts are more important than you on our anniversary. That's why I'm frying them up right now and letting this go to voicemail. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm like, to be fair, he literally cannot answer his phone because all of his hands are turning over corns on the cobs and Brussels sprouts and everything else in that grill.
So she's like, I think he misses me. So she tries again and it goes to voicemail again. And she's like, well, I mean, I think he misses me. I mean, we are falling in love with each other again every single day. Another voicemail.
Yeah, he's really loving you. So then, meanwhile, there's a chef who's cooking breakfast for everyone. And Kelly walks in and Phaedra is like, yeah, put your nipple covers on. Your nipples are out. And she's like, what? It's a nipple. You see a nipple? She's like, yeah, I see a lot of nipples. I think you should go over and put some nipple covers on. So Phaedra's like, yeah, those breasts are too big. I mean, she's got some big, big old boobs for such a little bitty body. I mean, if a strong wind comes, that girl's going to topple over because those boobs, they're just like, woo. I mean, those are some melons, honey. She's like perplexed by Kelly's body shape.
So then, which is weird because she tells her, like, she's like a little garden gnome and stuff. You're the same height. What are you talking
about? You're from the littles. Weren't they the littles?
Yeah.
Originally, before
you
said
you loved little people and you keep them locked in your basement or whatever you said. So Cynthia is like, oh, so I heard you were wasted, Brit. And she's like,
well, I've been telling these ladies I don't take shots. Shots is for college girls and we're wives. Well, some of us are wives.
Why are you pretending that you're classy? We all saw your country club thing 5 minutes ago.
Exactly.
And every other damn thing going on in your life. Just stop. Now you're classy because you don't take shots. You should have saved those shots and sent them to the people you didn't feed last week is what you should have done.
I know.
An apology.
Put a little press and seal on top of the shot glass and wrapped it up and sent it off to Grenada. Okay. Yeah. Cynthia's like, yeah, I don't think you should drink. You know, you shouldn't. And Phaedra's like, it affected her too much, child. I mean, and one of her nipples was inverted when she got back to the room. All these nipples are out.
Yeah.
So they're talking about the nipples and everything. And Phaedra is saying about Brit, she's like, that girl doesn't wear underwear or bras at any given time. So I am elated that they put me with her because I would never have known all these very intimate things about her. I've literally seen her birth canal at this point. That's her way of saying she's a slut. That's her way of, she's trying to, like, be very nice and be like, oh, wow, I've learned all these things about her. That I think is Phaedra talk for. She's a slut.
Yeah, Phaedra is not sure who she likes yet. I think it's nobody, but we can't really tell yet. So, they're talking about Shimi is missing clothes and they're like, what's your underwear situation? She's like, I'm bare and baked. I'm bare naked. You know, just what she says, like, I'm going naked. So Phaedra is talking about Drew's outfit and she's like, is this not giving Flintstones? And they're like, oh my God, pebbles. It's pebbles.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Every big moment starts with a big dream. But what happens when that big dream turns out to be a big flop? From Wondery and At Will Media, I'm Misha Brown, and this is The Big Flop. Every week, comedians join me to chronicle the biggest flubs, fails, and blunders of all time, like Quibi.
It's kind of like when you give yourself your own nickname and you try to, like, get other people to do it.
And the 2019 movie adaptation of Cats.
Like, if I'm watching the dancing and I'm noticing the feet aren't touching the ground, there's something wrong with the movie.
Find out what happens when massive hype turns into major fiasco. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics. I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen. And ultimately, you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful. Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
So today's going to be fun, guys. It's Housewives. So we're splitting into two groups. Some people are going to a waterfall. Some people are going to go cooking. And Kelly's like, cooking with Kelly in Granada. Oh, my God. Take me to the quiet place.
I know.
God, please. You should have sent Kelly to the waterfall. There would have been some white noise.
Yeah, I know. So Phaedra's like, she's just like, what would happen if a garden gnome and a Tinkerbell got together? Like, really tiny. But she also thinks she's got to be like, ah. And Kelly's like, no. Then like Kelly does this whole bit about like talking about what the day is going to happen in a quiet voice. And it took way too long. Just because you're speaking quietly doesn't mean you have to speak slowly. So then Kelly's asking if the crystal helped last night, because when they were talking, they were all holding this crystal. It was like the talking shell or whatever. And so Cynthia's like, well, it helped a little bit. And Britt's like, well, because I had it and nobody wanted to listen to me. I'm like, that's because you're not saying anything interesting and you're trying to start fights with the OGs, and you tried to start one with Phaedra last night by talking about Apollo and no one fell for your shit.
Yeah, just because you have a talking stick doesn't mean I have to have a listening stick. Okay. You suck. You need to make your talking better. So then Shamia starts with her and she's like, well, you had the crystal, but then you turned the conversation around on something that we weren't even on. She goes, but I can talk about whenever I walk by the talking crystal. She's like, no, because then you started talking about Phaedra and her ex. Like, that has nothing to do with what are we talking? Like, what are you talking about? I want to talk about who Black is. Who's the new lover?
And Drew's like, wow, that diverted really quick. She's like, I was not expecting that. I thought we were coming down on Brit, and now suddenly it's here on me. She's like, well, I was with you and you said, whoa. So Drew is saying that everyone is always searching for what Drew's got going on. But the real question is, why are Brit and Shamia having a weird beef this morning? By the way, I don't think anyone in the audience has any interest whatsoever about who Black is and if Drew is dating this person. I'm really hoping they drop this right away.
I don't care, and I don't believe Drew anyway, because Drew always lies, so whatever. Yeah. Unless you bring Black gear, I don't really care. So then Shimmy and Britt have a little snit, and Shimmy is like, well, I want to jump in and talk. She goes, well, we all feel that way. She goes, okay, well, it's not your fault. She goes, no, I know. And she goes, well, you don't have to take it that way. I mean, it's like, I'm just trying to talk to you. And she goes, no, I'm not taking it anyway. I'm like, oh, God, you guys, just go on your trips. Go do your day things.
So they split up. Kel explains that there is a method to the madness about how they split up. It's not really very interesting. But what I think was interesting is that in one van you have Portia, Shamia, Cynthia, and Phaedra. And what I really liked is we cut back and forth between these two vans and they're all chatting. And there was an energy with the Portia van that I found to be really appealing, because these are basically all women who've been on the show for a very long time in different forms, including Shamia. I mean, Shamia is only a first-time peach holder, but she's been on Atlanta for many years now. She's like up there with Marlo as like a friend of. So there's kind of a vibe the way they're talking about the other people, like they're like the upperclassmen, and they're like, who are these freshmen who are like trying to make an impact right now? And I kind of loved it.
Well, that van's talking shit and having fun, and the other van is just like trying to be positive and not having any fun. They're yes. just like quiet and not having fun at all. So first they talk about Britt and they're like, what's going on with her? You barely even read her. And she's like, I was just trying to say. And Porch is like, yeah, but do you remember, you know, about to drink the thing? And she was like, I don't want any more drinks. And mm-hmm. then you kept saying, take drinks. And she's like, oh my God, she's just so defensive. Like, are you trying to read me? Are you trying to be shady? Like, no, I'm just trying to say, like, you know, let's acknowledge the donations to Grenada. I was like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, that moved
this
on.
Is where the anger, this is where the anger really is from. It's not about the shots. She's like, you know, you can't show up with a Rolls Royce and a Birkin bag on your arm and then a small box. But Britt's box had like three paper towel rolls. Pedro goes, three paper towels?
You should have given her an actual membership to Britt Box. That would have at least given them some drama to watch.
That would have been an amazing donation.
So we see a flashback to that with Britt being like, oh my God, I really feel sorry for poor people. Here's a used Kleenex. Could you send that over? So Shami is like, yeah, I mean, that's a small box. I mean, that looks like a baby shower gift and it doesn't look right. So then she said, okay, fine. Then I'll send some Cash App. And she sends $250. And Phaedra's like, $250? I gave the Married to Medicine ladies $80,000 for medical miracles in Dr. Jackie Land or whatever the fuck that thing was. The medical ball.
Yeah, Phaedra's like, I mean, no one should give less than $1,000. I mean, you can go out and spend, like most of us do, $200-$300 to get your nails done. Don't come with a $250 donation. And I mean, I do think
these suffering women can't even get their nails done for that.
I do think that when it comes to charity, you give what you give and everyone should always be grateful. But the truth is, it is a very bad look to show up with the Birkin bag hanging off of your arm, which is it was there. It was. This is not just a metaphorical thing. Like, she showed up with a Birkin bag and then donated three rolls of like Quilted Northern. I'm like, it is a bad, bad look. And it's very like stingy and like ungrateful.
Yeah, but it's also a housewives thing where it's like, I'm just going to work. And you guys keep forcing me into these things where I have to give all this money. You know, they've got so many charity things each year. And then every year you have to come donate all this fucking money to people. It's like, can I just go to work? I don't get paid enough to do. I'm like season one. I'm not getting paid enough to do your Grenada bullshit.
Well, she should say that then. She should literally say, like, I can't afford that. But she is putting on all sorts of fronts, like her even just saying, like, I don't do shots. That's what college girls do. Like, she's pretending like she's a lady. She's having this event where she clearly did not pay for anything. So she's putting on airs. And that's where the bullshit is. 100% she's poor.
Yeah. So I think they're just like getting on her. So I'm like, is it fair to like make fun of somebody for being poor? Give her the boxes. But no, you know what I mean? Where's Brittany's box? Give Brittany a box. When you have a housewife that can't feed people at a country club, I say it's time to have a fundraiser for her. And I'm not saying Grenada hasn't gone through anything, but we need to start at home. Okay? Help
Brittany. But, you know, the thing is, she needed to have led with her being poor. Like, you know, Monica Garcia, one thing she was smart about is she sort of like level set right away. I'm poor. I've got six people living under one house. We sleep together like the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory family, and I can't afford anything. And then that was fine. We just knew she's like, I'm going to make little bundles for toddlers and that's how I'm going to get by. But Britt is like,
well, I'm making 45 figures in the insurance agency right now, which I'm both part of and not part of. So yeah, I'm very wealthy.
And like,
you might have heard of my insurance company called Don't Trust Your Sister Insurance. It's amazing. So please buy my Be a Bad Bitch workshop and you'll learn how to do it too.
Yeah, this girl's phony as hell. But you know, I don't know.
That's why she has to sue Bravo for $20 million. Let's not.
Well, here's the thing with this chick. Beyond being poor, even if she got that $20 million from Bravo, she would still give $250.
She 100% would.
Yeah.
100%.
Which she's not going to get that money, by the way. But
she won't, not if we have something to say about it.
Well, you know, maybe she'll get something, but it's not going to be 20 million. I don't know what she'll get. They'll probably settle with her. They'll probably be like, we're giving you your $250 back.
Yeah, here's your, and here's three rolls of toilet paper.
Here's a fake marble countertop for your condo.
Good luck getting your insurance agency license back, for, even though it wasn't ever clear why it was suspended in the first place.
So now they're talking about Phaedra and Drew and, Portia and Drew. And Phaedra's like, I'm just trying to figure out who's Drew. Who's this Drewzilla? Did you guys get that one? Did you get that one? That was a good one. I really Phaedra'd you on that.
Portia's like, yeah, I can't talk about her. You know, I just supposed to have like made up with her. So like, we just kind of like finished up that storyline. So we can talk shit after the cameras are off.
And I like how Cynthia defines real friendship. She's like, well, I know you ain't gonna, I know you guys aren't gonna be at like Costco together next week shopping, but I do feel like you can move forward.
It's like I love real friends. The Costco tests. Who's she inviting to Costco?
So now we go to the kind of boring van and they're talking about street meat and stuff. And Kelly's like, I'm a chef. I want to stop on the side of the road, baby. And then we go back to the fun car.
Kelly, by the way. Okay. Kelly, who we've not seen make a single waffle all season long.
I haven't even seen you make a waffle. That's what I was thinking too. Like, girl, stop calling yourself a chef. You sold 20. You sold 20 books. I looked at the Amazon reviews.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I believe she can throw down in the kitchen, but let's see it. Like, why are you making us work for it? You're a chef. You should be cooking every single moment. Every event they go to, she should be bringing a plate of food. She should be bringing a giant waffle that she made and distributing it. Like, where is this hustle? I'm not seeing any of it.
Well, here's the only review I've heard of her food. Her child, who said, Mom can't cook. That's why I'm going to culinary school.
Yes.
So back in the fun car, Portia's like, well, you know, Drew needs to apologize to you about the lapdog comment because she's trying to bring you beneath me and you're not. And Shami is like, well, listen, I say Drew's name to a million people and every one of them says, who? So.
She's like, I would rather be a lapdog for someone who's famous than forgettable inherently.
That's so
interesting. Well, I guess there's always a pecking order, right? So might as well be in the right order. Might as well, who wants to peck for Drew Sidora, right?
I think, to be fair, more people have heard of Drew Sidora than Shamia Morton, like outside of this show.
I think at this point people have heard of Portia Williams than I think Drew has. People know Drew. I mean, she was on The Game, she was in, was it Step
people
Up
know who she is York? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, people know her more than Shamia, so I don't know why Shamia is acting like she, no one knows who Drew is.
Shamia. And don't forget, LeBron James was listening to her music, according to Drew Sidora. Who also, by the way, LeBron James, very good friends, I'm sure, with Drew's cousin, Michael Jordan. Who's
Michael Jordan, exactly. Michael Jordan knows who Drew Sidora is. He doesn't. Okay. So Phaedra's like, yeah. And then Drew comes in like, Betty Rubble. Did I say that one already? Just in case it didn't get in there. There it is again, boys.
She got promoted from Pebbles to Betty Rubble, but is also Godzilla. So then Cynthia's like, stop. And then Portia's like, well, Phaedra, I saw something like that in the back of your closet. And Phaedra goes, hell no. She's like, I do not dress like Drew Sidora.
So now Phaedra Oh, sorry. What did you say?
No, I was going to say Phaedra does not like any of the new people at all.
Here's what Phaedra likes. Pop culture starring dinosaurs.
She's like,
that's what we're getting.
Not the mommy.
It's just like, wow, the Flintstones, Godzilla, Jurassic Park. What is she, Jeff Goldblum looking at a tiny bug in amber?
Who wants to hear about chaos theory?
Let me tell you, that girl, what did she kill Newman? Am I right? Am I right, guys?
You always thought about what you could do, but you didn't think about what you should do.
My land before time. That girl is rough.
You haven't lived.
Tell you, if that girl releases music, it's gonna be some real Fraggle Rock.
I knew the moment I was gonna leave Apollo was when I watched our own little pet dinosaur kick him out of our house, and he couldn't even figure out how to get back in.
So in the boring car, Drew's like, oh, it's just so exciting to be able to experience Phaedra. I love her. And Britt's like, yeah, she's dope. And Britt's like,
yeah, we definitely have some mutual friends. So that's like helped us build our bond.
That's her way. She's again trying to like stoke the, and that's how I know Apollo. She's begging for them to say, oh, is that why you invited Apollo? She wants to make the Apollo thing a thing, and just no one's giving it to her.
We have mutual friends. There are people that we know. Also, I've been reading my Greek mythology, and I really like the god Apollo.
It's like, stop.
And Cynthia's like, well, you know Charles, right, Phaedra? So this is the other van, and they're talking about Angela. And so Cynthia's like, so you know Charles, right, Phaedra? And she's like, oh, Charles, I mean, so much fun. I mean, I haven't seen him in years, but he's always been that dude. And she says he's the life of the party, and they say, does he act married? And she's like, well, I don't know, because it's not like I've been out on the scene, but I never knew him to be married.
They're trying to make that sound like scandalous, but she just said she hasn't seen him in 10 years and Angela's been married to him for 8 years. So
yeah,
like, if she says she never knew him to be married, that would be completely accurate.
Yeah, they're making it sound like Charles is out there acting single, taking off his wedding ring and stuff like that, which, you know, if that's the case, say that. Or if he's cheating, say that. But the
wedding rings are a big thing on Bravo these days with this in the Valley.
Maybe you guys don't consider him married, but I'm sure he does, because he's invested in 5 investment homes for his wife, which is more than any of your men are doing for you right now, except you, Shamia. But still, I don't know that she's the one to throw daggers at.
Shot o'clock. So then Angela's like, you know, I'm just happy that we made it to our 8-year wedding anniversary. And Kelly's like, 8 is great. 8 is wonderful. That's how many children I hope to have someday. And let's just say that, okay, that you made it to 8. And Drew's like, well, have you talked to him? She's like, well, not today, but I'm going to try to get his ass on the phone when we get to the hotel. So then the producers are asking Drew what she thinks, what of their relationship. And she's like, Angela and Charles are legendary. I mean, I don't know anything. I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen anything. Okay, just don't get me in trouble. So she basically is like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, but
she's
subtle.
Like, yeah, he's cheating.
Yeah. And then back in the other car, they're talking about how Grenada's really stepped it up. The prime minister is going to come have dinner with them.
Oh, God. Why do we do this to respectable people?
Let the local officials alone.
Don't do
that.
This
man
to this
has
poor
so
gentleman.
Much to do. That man
has a political career.
Yeah, he's got cleanup. Like, that man has a lot to do. Leave him alone. I like that when he finally came, he looked like he worked at the hotel. He had like a little uniform shirt on and like a pen in his shirt. He's like, hello. Yeah. You've got 5 minutes. Everybody's room's okay.
Shannon Bedore's like,
little soaps.
I'm so glad that you're here. Could you ask our concierge, when is our spa day going to begin? Thank you so much.
Listen, I have asked that gentleman over there who seems very nice, where my artichoke dip is for 7 episodes. I still have not received
it. I have not seen it. No.
So Shamia is,
I drop a grenade for ya.
Oh, David. David.
So Shamia's saying that they can't keep the prime minister waiting. They have to be on time tonight. And Portia's saying, like, yeah, you better tell that to Drew. So now they're arriving at their activity.
Because Portia's calling somebody late. Portia, the last season you were on this show, you barely even showed up. And when you did, it was like 8 hours late to every single event. What are you talking about?
She takes some accountability. She goes, I know I'm late, but Drew is often late too.
Okay, so now we have Cooking with Kelly and the Annandale Waterfall. Let's see what happens. So there's little monkeys running all over the place, and Phaedra's like, I don't want anything to do with monkeys. They're racist. And they're like, what?
They're
monkeys
like,
are racist. What are you talking racist? About?
She's like, I've always equated anything with monkeys, but that's no good. They just keep showing this little monkey. I was just like chuckling at the idea that this tiny little monkey was racist. He's just like, not doing it.
So then they're loving the waterfall, and there's a lizard, and it's a tree lizard. So Porch is like,
Not a tree, not a tree, not a jumping one. I'll get a video, though.
So she starts taking a video, and they're like, Portia, you have to press record. And she's like, oh, my God, I'm old. She's putting the other group, little go naked hair on the lizard.
She's like, how many followers you got?
The lizard's doing a photo shoot in the waterfall in 3 seconds. The other people, they show up at this estate that is a distillery. They make rum. It's like an all black owned distillery, which is very cool. And it's, they talk about how it like survived hurricanes, etc. And they're going to make some food together. So then, and then they, of course,
and doesn't this hurricane the chef. Sound like a real bitch anyway? This hurricane was named Beryl.
Was it?
Or Burl.
Burl?
When Hurricane Burl, B-E-R-Y-L. I'm going to.
Oh, I remember that Hurricane Beryl. I remember that. Because I was like, what a bitch.
It sounds like someone's like emotionally abusive husband in the 50s.
I just feel like Meryl is great because of Meryl Streep. But then Beryl, you're like, you're trying to be like Meryl, but you're not. You're awful.
Yeah. Hurricane Burl. What an asshole. So they're talking about the hurricane and how they're still here. We don't fall. So Kelly's like, as the chef, I'd love to learn new recipes. I cannot wait how to work fresh fish into my waffles.
Yeah. I mean, I would have fish on top of a waffle. I wouldn't be opposed. I like a waffle base on things. You can have a savory waffle. No.
The fish waffle, though? I mean, I know.
I would 100% have
a thing. I don't know about it.
I would 100% have like a fish wrapped in a waffle. 100%.
No, I won't get there yet.
I think it could. I think it would be delicious.
I'll support it. I'll order a side of fries.
Okay. I appreciate that. Well, we'll need the fries just in case it doesn't work.
I'm going to watch you eat it like this.
Well, I think actually like a pickled fish would be really good in it.
Oh, pickled. Come on. Pickled? That's even worse.
You're just doing? Complete dismay at the concept.
You're like, just drip. Just open a can of tinned fish and just drip all the drippings all over the top of the waffle.
Okay, Norway story incoming. We went to a herring manufacturer or producer, whatever company, and they served us all sorts of herring in different ways, which of course was my dream. Maybe your nightmare, but my dream. And one of the ways that they served it was they had herring that was in a pickled herring in a raspberry brine that was served over mango and raspberry and melon. Could you imagine pickled fish over raspberries and mango? And I ate it all because I'm a big boy that eats his berries now. And first of all, the berries were actually pretty good. But I was just thinking to myself, I can't believe I'm having pickled fish and raspberries right now. And yeah. It worked in a strange way. So I feel like there's hope for fish and waffles.
Okay. Well, you hold out that hope.
I'll report back.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Every successful business starts with an idea. And on the best idea yet, we're obsessed with those light bulb moments.
Like how a bored barista invented the Frappuccino during his downtime. And then it got acquired by Starbucks.
Or how Patagonia's iconic fleece was inspired by a toilet seat cover.
On The Best Idea Yet, we dive into the untold origin stories behind the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who made them go viral.
These are the wild ideas and insights that made Birkenstock the best-selling sandals since Jesus.
And made Super Mario the most played video game in the history of attention span.
Yeah, Nintendo almost became a ramen company until Super Mario saved it.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Follow The Best Idea Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And if this podcast lasts longer than 45 minutes, call your doctor.
Real women are not afraid of waffles, okay? Waffles with only syrup is what college girls have.
So they're talking about the hot men working and they're like, oh my God, love the men. They're so hot. They're fine. And he's like, well, we're single out here. So just let me know. And so Kelly sidles up to the table. She's like, yeah. And they're like, well, Angela, not Angela. She's married. And she's like, I'm not blind.
And she then bonks her head against the pole. Well, maybe I'm a little blind. So then they're back at the waterfall. They're taking photos and everything, and they're just enjoying all these photos. I have to say, this was one of those moments where you can really see that Cynthia is a supermodel, because they all look gorgeous. They're all hot. They all look gorgeous. They all know their angles. They're all smiling. They all look beautiful. And we see all these photos, and then we see this one shot of Cynthia in the waterfall just smiling. And I was like, that's a supermodel right there. I don't know how it is that a supermodel just... Supermodels can just like take a photo on a different level. I was like, Cynthia Bailey, she still has it. I'm going to say that right now. She is like a fish in a waffle. Delicious and on point.
Yeah. She's always looking good. That chick. Yeah. Well, Cynthia, I mean, what can I possibly add to that? She's always going to look good, you know? So then, everyone else is eating. I hate these vacation things where they're like, oh, it's a waterfall. We're making waffles. I'm like, get to the part where you fight, cause this is boring. Good. And then we find out Shamia is insecure without a one piece. And I'm like, girl, tell me about it. At least you guys get one pieces. Guys don't get those. Do you know how many guys would die for like a one piece Spanx to wear into a pool? I'd be out at the pool all the time.
No,
like
I would love
a like in the 20s. Maybe I should try and bring that back. Those swimsuits from like movies from the 20s where guys are in like a full body thing. Why don't we get to?
Yeah. But Shamia, like her luggage is not only lost, they can't even track it, which I'm like, what airline did you all fly down? What are you on Spirit? How do you not even have any tracking on your luggage at this point?
Here's my question, because now I'm stuck on it. Can men get away with wearing burkinis? What are those called?
Burkinis, yeah. I mean, why not?
Well, I can protect my head. I can protect my whole body. Fuck yeah, I'm getting one of those things.
Whatever you want. Yeah. So now after the cooking is done, they're all sitting down to eat, and Britt does not eat beef or pork. She's like, even if it's on top, I can only do it because I can't do it because the juices. Why are you saying this now? Why didn't you say it before when you started cooking the oil down? Like, that's what it's called, right? An oil down. Why are you doing this?
They would have made you one without the stuff in it. They could have they could have fried your dough first. Like, why you got to?
But she
like
is the
that?
Type that's, she's not going to say anything until all of a sudden the last second. And so then she sits there with an empty plate, and then she could be like,
it's okay. I didn't get to eat.
Like, she would rather be the one with the empty plate so she could like moan and groan about it than actually be proactive. So that way she could actually participate in the food.
Well, maybe she's just medicated and doesn't want to eat.
Or that.
I'm curious because I'm wondering, like, did they have any vegetarian options at her thing last week? Now I want to catch her eating meat.
Did they have any options in general at her thing last week? Was there food? I think Air is vegetarian.
So now they're talking. Britt's like, oh my God, this is so nice. Like, even for me, and like, I've had the most friction with Drew and Angela, and so far it's just been so refreshing. And Angela is fine with Britt too. She's like, I mean, I've seen no reason to call her a whore again, so I guess I'm okay with her. That's Angela's meter on like,
yeah,
like whether she's friendly or not. She's like, well, I haven't felt like calling you a whore today, so I guess we're friends.
We're almost at the Costco level.
We're basically sisters.
So the OGs, meanwhile, at the waterfall are talking. And Phaedra's like, you know, I thought it was strange that Britt brought up the stuff with Apollo. And everyone's like, yeah, that was weird. She's like, you know, I'm not sure how Apollo got into the conversation. I mean, I wasn't invited to the party and I wasn't there, so I have no issue. I don't think that Britt was actually coming for me. It just was weird. Like, just like it was, I'm not necessarily mad at Britt, but I'm also like, I think that's her vibe. She's like, I have a red flag up.
And Portia says, well, she doesn't feel heard. Oh, she's heard. She is heard. Yeah. I hear her. Okay. That's my main problem with her.
Yeah.
So, and Portia also brings up in my brain. My brain shakes in its head.
Yeah. And Portia also mentions that Apollo didn't even go. So what's even the point of bringing it up? I'm sure Britt would say, in case it gets back to Phaedra by me this way, I'm being honest, but yeah, it felt really strange that she brought this all up. And then we have a flashback.
She was trying for a storyline. Obviously she's going to bring Phaedra and Apollo to the same place and it didn't work out. So now she's going to still try and start a fight over it. It's like so obvious. And it's so sad that she's trying to make a fight that's not happening. It's just so sad. So, can we sue you for $20 million? You're really bad at this. Like, you're wasting my time at this point. What about my money? Okay. Now, let's say I could have made $100 waiting tables tonight. Times that times, how many episodes is this? 13. give me my $130.
Yeah.
No, $1,300. Sorry.
Yeah.
My math sucks.
So much more. So then Britt is, so Portia, like you said, Portia starts talking about how Britt feels like she's not supported. And we get a flashback to last week where Britt is like,
I just want to bring everyone together for support because I haven't always felt the support.
And then Portia's like, but you didn't invite us over. It's just,
well, I've never been invited over by you to anywhere either.
It's like, yeah, but you're the one complaining about it. If Portia were complaining, then you could say, but you should invite us over. But you're complaining about not feeling support and yet you've never reached out people to come over to your one bedroom, two bathroom, you know?
Yeah, and Portia's like, tit-for-tat, Britt, tit-for-tat. So then we go back to talking about Black and Drew. And so Kelly's like, I have a question for you, Miss Drusadora. Do you know this person? And she holds up a black napkin. And Angela's like, that color is purple. The real movie was better than the musical. There, I said it. Fight me.
Do you know Prince? So then Drew's talking about Black. No one cares. And then Shamia is talking about Black, the Drew and the Black thing. And Cindy's like, who is Black? And Portia's like,
Drew said Black is just her friend. But I'm like, wait, isn't there a video of them hanging out? And like, they have pictures of them, whatever.
I'm like, it's too late in the season to be bringing up this person who's not on camera that we don't care about. Like, no, stop doing this, producers. Let's focus on what we have in front of us, not some rando.
Yeah, so then Drew has to answer to the other ladies. And she's like, well, I mean, there's definitely some flirting going on, but we're just friends. Because, you know, if I could share, I would. And, you know, I'm excited to go on that mountaintop. Well, is it a mountaintop or is it a hill? What is it? It's like, what are you even talking about? And she goes, well, yeah. I would go on top of that high mountaintop over there and I would scream it because I'm looking forward to that. But right now I'm going through a divorce from Ralph. So that's what I'm thinking about now.
So now it's late afternoon. So they have to head back and, you know, to get change for their prime minister dinner, etc. And Portia and Shamir are having a great time together. And Shamia's like, she's like, I just love that my best friend is back. I don't have luggage, but I've got my best friend.
Yeah, they sing a song about booty holes. So they're friends.
Yeah.
And then we go back home and Phaedra's telling, because Kelly's like, okay, everybody, we got to be ready. And Phaedra's like, oh, my God, you look like a flower. Little garden gnome comes through. Put you in my basement. Bring you out at Christmas.
And then Angela finally is able to make contact with Charles. He's like, what's up?
Well, don't you miss me?
Okay, I miss you.
I mean, it's the first anniversary we're not together.
Okay.
I mean, that matters.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay.
I need more, Charles. I need mojo. I mean, we're about to go to a dinner. I want to talk about my day. And he's like,
okay.
Okay, Charles. Jeez. He's like, okay, eat your food. Have a good time. She's like, leave me with something, Charles. Leave me with something. And he's like, don't get into a scuffle.
She's like, normally on the anniversary, we get some action, but bedroom action afterwards. So I think he's just being a little petty right now.
I'm like, no, he has got 3 chickens and 10 corn on the cobs on the grill right now. And something is burning and he wants to get back to it.
Charles does not want to be on this show. Stop calling him. He doesn't want to do it. He does not want to do it. When are you going to just take no for an answer? The man tried to show up to the country club event and look what they did immediately. They're like, well, I'm not one of Charles's whores. It's like, okay, well, thanks for this shit salad. Did you even get dressing for this salad? This is the worst salad I've ever had in my life. Why are you bringing me here? Stop calling me.
Definitely no room for salad dressing in Britt's catering budget. So Kelly is, they're getting ready to go out and everything. And Shamia starts offering shots. And she's like, Cynthia, would you like one? And Cynthia's like, oh, well, I never turned down tequila. And Shamia goes, no pressure. I don't want nobody to feel like I'm pressuring them to drink. And I was like, ooh, I love a passive aggressive moment.
Yeah, this is another kind of try hard moment. And so Shamia's like, I mean, I've just been told I'm a little too much. And Britt's like, well, I mean, I felt a little pressured. And Cynthia's like, who said that? Shamia goes, well, I just don't want anybody saying I'm pressuring them to drink. Who said that? And Britt's like, it's not really that serious. And she's like,
oh my God, she's being so passive
passive aggressive with these shots. That is just so low class.
Shamia's like, well, whoever does not want a shot can just politely decline. It is very passive aggressive, but since it's aimed at Brit, I'm like very okay with it, you know.
Here's why I don't like it, because you're like making me stand up for Brit over things, and I don't like it. I'm already having to stand up for Brit for her forced charity stuff, and now these forced shot things that you're trying to make a thing that's not really a thing. So stop making me kind of like be on Brit's side about things. I don't like
Shamia
it.
Is you're being passive aggressive. She is in the wrong here, but I am going to just take her side.
Well, Brit, my point is, I guess, is that Brit is annoying enough and does enough annoying things to call her out on that you don't need to make stupid stuff up. Just call her out on the shit she's already doing and done.
Yeah. So they have this whole little back and forth, and Shamia's like, I've been saying shot o'clock since I've met you all. Shot o'clock. Everybody can just keep on declining. Everybody that doesn't want a shot, just keep declining politely. And Brit's like,
yeah, I'm not going to need a shot.
She's like, okay. She's like,
Shamia's always screaming shot o'clock. And I'm just like, we're not hood rats. We're classy women. So no more shots, please.
Okay, I'll wait to see the sizzle reel of you being a classy lady. I'll wait for them to make that nice montage and compilation, and then we can move forward on this front.
1 minute you can't feed the people at the party, you're lying about your business, you're lying about your marble countertops, you're pretending to buy a car that you don't have. I mean, come on, enough with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now they head out. They're heading out and they're driving. And then Cynthia steps on Portia's foot, which is funny. And then they arrive at Silver Sands. They have a nice little dinner. They sit down. And in my mind, I was like, please tell me that they already just met the prime minister off camera. Because if they're starting their dinner now, that means they're going to be fighting by the time this guy shows up.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not going to be great.
So Kelly's like, welcome to dinner. I just want to thank everybody for their donations for this place because they really needed it. We're good people. And Portia's like, I'm always happy to give. It was so nice seeing all the children of the town running around in their little go naked wigs today. I'm proud of us, guys.
Shamia's like, and that's the biggest part for me is if you have the ability to give and do big, this is when you do your big one. You can't pull up Birkin with Rolls Royces, Bentleys, and then not really give when it counts. And Kelly's like, I totally agree. And Brit's like,
to me, that felt like a little bit of shade.
Which it was. And Shamia goes, oh, you think I'm throwing shade? I mean, Shamia, you might as well stand in it. I mean, I agree with you. Shamia's in the wrong here, and she's making me honestly root a little bit for Brit, but I'm not going to allow myself to root for Brit because I'm very anti-Brit. So I'm going to stay with Shamia.
Well, even though
Shamia is like being totally passive aggressive here.
Yeah, Brit sucks. It's just Shamia's being an asshole, and it's like you're kind of mean girling somebody, which is going to put the audience more on Brit's side. I just think she's not handling any of this very well. And by this, I mean the housewives thing. She's not handling it very well.
Well,
so Shamia's like, well, you're not the only one with the Birkin and Rolls Royce. And she's like, well, I'm just saying I'm the one who showed up with a Birkin and a Rolls Royce. She goes, well, I drive a Rolls Royce. She drives a Rolls Royce. And she goes,
but I'm the one that showed up in a Rolls Royce and a Birkin.
And she goes, okay, well, I didn't look at you one time and you said I was throwing shade. So if it was shade, you would know it. But you admitted already to the girls that you, like, you're...
This was shade, Shamia. This was clearly shade because no one else showed up without like donating a lot. But I like how she's now framed it. She's going to make Brit feel bad about having a Rolls Royce in the sense of like, oh, you think you're special? We all have Rolls Royces. So Brit is like,
you know, I knew there was something off and it like started from like the shot situation. Like, what is your real issue with me, Shamia? Because you're my girl.
So Kelly's like, well, I'm not saying it was the best donation, but I think that, you know, Brit is in a situation where she's just not aware in regards to how much to give or what to do. And I think that if we're going to show up and be that girl in all aspects of our lives, I'm like, Brit literally knows how much things should cost because she works in insurance. That's like her job, is to know how much things cost when they get broken. So you can't act like she's naive about all this.
Well, maybe that's why she doesn't want to donate anything. Maybe she's like,
do you know what natural disasters do to the insurance companies? Where's my donation?
as a representative of County Garden Insurance.
What's that?
Well, it's like State Farm, but it's called County Garden instead.
Oh. So she does not like that Kelly has just made her look like, you know, she's the Kelly is taking the other side. So she's not happy. She's like, yeah,
her telling me I need to show up. I mean, that's not giving best friend. And I asked you and you were like, donate whatever you feel. Or did you forget that part? Is there confusion? Was that not spoken?
And Shamia's like, oh my God, all this energy. Calm down.
Now, look, again, I think that with charity, you should just donate what you feel. You know, you people should just always be grateful. But if you're going to run in this circle and you're going to be on Bravo, like, and if you just donate three rolls of toilet paper, just know you're going to receive shit for it. And you have to be able to, like, you can't be shocked that
okay,
a group like this, you're going to get shit for something like that.
Yeah. Okay. And you know what? Look, I get that too. But a Rolls Royce starts at like $357,000. And your ass donated some used kids' clothes that you were going to get rid of anyway. Boxes of them. Tons of boxes of them. But still, like, if we're going to compare all of this, none of y'all gave enough. There. Send them a Rolls Royce. Send them $300,000. Or be quiet about someone's
donation. I don't know. I think that, like,
because I feel like all your donations are kind of small compared to what you have.
Yeah, but, like, there's, I don't know. Three rolls of toilet paper and $250. Even if, yes, you could make an argument that everyone could afford to donate a lot more. And that's, I feel like, a separate issue.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But, like, I think that Britt, when she's paying to have, like, a butler, like, dress up in, you know, a tux to serve her family lobsters at home for dinner, like, to pretend like this is what just dinner's like in the ED household. I mean, that money right there. That, like, save the butler
Brit's,
and donate.
Brit's full of shit.
It's just, it's so full of shit. It's ridiculous. And then she can't believe that she would receive shit for being so cheap with her donation. It's just like, enough. Girl, bye.
Yeah. Girl, bye.
Yeah, you're right. So then, let's see. So Kelly's like, yeah. Shamia's like, yeah, what's with all this energy? Calm down. She's like, don't you tell me to calm down. And Shamia says, well, when you brought toilet paper rolls, I called you. And she said,
and what am I saying?
She said, you asked how much you should donate, and I talked to you, and I said, give what you want. God loves a cheerful giver. And Britt's like, yeah, and I talked to you in your face in person, and I said, and she goes, calm down. Why are you acting like this?
It's just such a dick move to do that. Like, because Britt was not actually uncalm. She was getting annoyed, but she was not uncalm. So Shamia being like, calm down is such a, that's such fuckery to do that to someone. She's like, well, I don't need you to tell me to calm down. Because, of course, Britt is too dumb to not fall into the trap.
Yeah, Britt's an idiot. So she's falling right into this. Instead of being like, well, is it a cheerful giver or is it like a guilt giver? Because that's what you, I mean, something. But just like shut it down without falling into it every single time. But Britt's so thirsty for a fight anyway that she'll do it. Like she's even going to go into this charity fight where she knows she's not going to win this one. You know, but she doesn't care. She just wants a fight.
She really does. And Britt's like, you know, I don't need you. Because then Shamia says, you're being very aggressive right now and I don't like it. She goes, well, I don't, you know, you're being passive aggressive right now. You're being passive aggressive. She goes, well, I'm not going to talk to her if she's going to be like this. So Shamia explains there's like another little wrinkle in this silly situation where she's like, the crazy thing is I did pull Britt aside. I took her to Houston's to talk to her about it. Which, by the way, I love the idea of going to like an, yeah, going to a relatively expensive restaurant to talk about how someone's not giving enough to charity.
Yeah. And I brought the leftover French fries for these children here. I'm a good person. The best.
So I talked to her about it. So when we went to Grenada, don't be shocked because you and I both knew that you missed the mark. So Shamia's angry because she already scolded Britt in private and she's angry that Britt is surprised that she's getting a public lashing by Shamia. It's such a strange take.
Yes. So Britt says,
well, like, if you can bring it to my face, then cool. But, like, anybody else want to say something they can bring directly to me?
And Portia's like, well, you did say at the end of your event that you don't feel supported.
And then I was like, but then if I've never got an invite, how do I, you know, go to the next level or like a side call or something?
And then Britt's like, are you asking me? Or are you saying? And she's like, let's talk in a friendly tone, Britt. And she's like,
specifically, if you can't even like save a phone number or acknowledge me in a text message.
So now we get a text Brit, war.
You are pushing your luck trying to come for Portia again. You got off easy earlier in the season when you tried it, and now you're trying again. And the way Portia had this look of like, let's talk in a friendly tone. She's like, I don't want to start a fight with you, because if I do, I'm going to destroy you. So let's not do this, Brit. But Brit, of course, doesn't get it. And then we see Portia says how, like, she's like, we were on a group text all together, and I see all these new phone numbers, and I don't know who they are. So I'm like, who are you? Say who you are. But everyone ignored Portia. And then later on, when Brit tried to text her, she was like, well, you never said who you are, so I'm just not going to respond to you. And Brit has had this grudge ever since then, which is so petty and so Brit.
Oh, I didn't even know she talked to her again. Well, meaning that, ignored a message. But we see the text pop up on the screen, and it has that thing like, add, looks like there's a new contact, Brit Eady. Add the contact to your thing.
So I didn't see that.
Yeah, they showed a screenshot that made it look like Portia did have the option to add Brit Eady's number and just didn't.
Well, actually, if they took a screenshot, that could have been way later. That could have been like, because they probably went back in the history and
that's not true.
Necessarily as indicting as it sounds.
Well, it was a funny screenshot I was cracking up, because it's very Portia to be like, well, she didn't tell me whose number it was, so whatever.
I'm on some god awful group text right now with a bunch of people I played fantasy football with, and I know who a bunch of them are, but they won't say who they are, and so I just see phone numbers of banter, and I'm like, I'm kind of like Portia. I'm like, I'm over it. Like, if you guys aren't going to say who you are, I'm just not going to respond to any of you. I know who a bunch of you are. I really enjoy you, but too many anonymous phone numbers coming in incessantly every single day.
I just ask people and put their numbers in my phone. I don't know.
Yeah, I've asked. It's a weird. No one's giving me their names.
That's weird. So now people are, now we're fighting about unrecognized names in text threads. Okay. So then she's like, Brit's like, Portia, are you going to let me finish? So then we turn into, are you going to let me finish? Well, I'm just trying to say, but I'm trying to finish. Let me finish. Let me finish. So she goes, let me finish, baby. And Portia's like, not baby. Don't baby me. She goes, well, you don't have to be like this. She's like, well, all I'm saying is you asked why did I not have people's phone numbers changed? And Brit's like, I wasn't done speaking. Why can't I speak? There's three people. But I said he's in the chat. Oh my God, this show. You guys need help. It's episode 13. Somebody come in and poop on the table. Something needs to happen.
So they're having this fight where Brit is being, again, Brit is the one who's complaining that people aren't supporting her. And then here's someone saying like, but you need to give something a little bit. And then the prime minister's motorcade starts to arrive. And I'm like, oh God, please don't do this. No, don't do this. Don't show up right now. And they're still like bickering. And then he basically shows up. And it's the Honorable Dickon Mitchell, the prime minister. And he arrives and they're like, oh, hi. And he's like young. And like you said, he's just sort of like in a black shirt with like a little pin on. And then they're like, oh, why don't you pull up a seat? Why don't you sit down with us? And he sits down and they gave him like this little baby seat. Did you notice that he was so low under the table? I'm like, this is the prime minister. Can we get a better seat for him?
Can we make an effort for this poor guy? So yeah, because he just came in to say hi. He was like, I just wanted to come by and say hi. Bye. And they're like, no, sit down so we can hit on you on TV. They're like, oh my God, you're so hot. End up with Kelly. And how many kids do you have? You look like a kid. You're so young. Show us your dick. Let's see it. Like, geez, leave the guy alone, man.
I know. So they are all flirting with him and asking how many children he has. He's got two kids and they're like teenagers. They're like, what? You have got teenagers? So Phaedra's like, Drusilla, if you're going to be the first lady, you've got to look like you belong here. And that Temu outfit is just going to be offensive, you know, to the constituents. Portia can fit in, but not you.
So they're talking and he leaves, right? So Portia's like, wow, he looked so young and not to be married with two kids. And Brit's like, well, I know some married men that don't wear rings as well. So, and Angela goes, yeah, my husband doesn't wear his wedding ring. And they're like, what? And Portia goes, does this girl got Tourette's or something?
Why is she hollering at her, all her business out of nowhere like this?
So then Angela keeps going.
She's like, I went to therapy and I expressed to him that that little thing matters to me. And they're like, yeah, that's kind of a big deal, wetting your ring, you know?
Phaedra has a really good assessment. She goes, well, I don't know what's going on, but I do believe all marriages are hard. Most men are crazy, but most women love penises. I guess it's a give and take situation.
So Angela's like, well, I guess I'll bring it up in therapy next week. Wait, whose birthday is it? And so Shamia's like, it's your anniversary, so we're having a cake for you. And she's like, you guys made me feel the love in his absence. Thank you for that. This is more than Charles even did on our wedding night.
It's like a little Carvel cake. And she's like, thank you so much. So she's really happy. And Portia's like,
oh my God, it even says something on the cake. It says, please stop calling me. I'm trying to cook. Oh, you guys.
I mean, he doesn't wear his ring. I mean, you're here on your anniversary. There's a phantom baby. It's just like too much.
Okay, so they're leaving, and Angela asks Britt if she's okay. And she's like, well, we still didn't resolve anything. And Portia's like, there's nothing to resolve with us. And then Britt's like, well, the question was, why don't I invite people over? I mean, we never finished that discussion. Oh, my God.
I know, she's just trying to do this again. And Portia's like, the only reason I was bringing up it was to talk about how we can figure out how to support you.
She's like, but remember, I never got to finish. I didn't get to time. Remember, I was supposed to have a scene.
They're like, okay,
well, oh God, so Britt, I tried to stand up for you for this episode, but it's really difficult. So please be less annoying.
She's a terrible casting choice. Like, Bravo really flopped with her. And they're going to now be dealing with this headache of this lawsuit because of it. They really should have seen this one coming. She's not a Bravo stock. So now they get into their cars, and Britt's like, well, it's so weird. I had issues with Shamia. I never had issues with Shamia before. And Phaedra's like, okay, rule of thumb, at the level that you're at, your donation should never be less than $1,000. She just like lays it out there. And Britt's like, well, that's fine. But as far as like Portia asking like about like not being invited to my home, Portia isn't inviting me anywhere. No, I'm not single place. And Angela, you never invite me. You never invite. Yeah, but like you're the only one complaining about it. So if you're going to complain about it, you do it. It's like, you know, when people say that, they're like, wow, you never call me anymore. I'm like, the phone works two ways. If you want to hear from me, call me, you know?
Yeah. And I like that Phaedra laid it out for her. She's like, well, listen, you're putting yourself in the hot seat and you're sitting on ready. And if that's the shit you're doing all night, that's bullshit. You're joining a girl group and you're new and you're going to have to show yourself friendly. And she's like, man, she goes, no, I'm not, don't even be fake. Just show yourself friendly. And if somebody's saying, hey, I want to come to your house, well, you better damn have a charcuterie board.
A little glass of champagne ready. I loved when she did that. Just like, hello. I mean, that someone should have said that to Britt a long time ago. And maybe that is a slight problem with this cast, is that you don't have actually anyone who's like looking out for the newbies to be like, this is how you have to act on this show. Like, this is how you got to do it. Right. Because everyone's so like self-involved. I don't know. I don't know if that's necessary or not, but I wonder if that's something that would have been helpful.
Well, you need so like a big then, sister to train you, I guess, you know.
Yeah. So then over in the other car, Shamia gets a call from Gerald, and Shiloh is sick. Shiloh is their child that has had lots of medical complications. And basically they had a nanny who just like let Shiloh be in a cold room without pajamas on. And so Shiloh got a fever. And for them, this is a really big deal because she has like a compromised immunity system as it is anyway. So anytime that Shiloh gets sick, it's actually very scary, which actually gives more insight to earlier this season when Shiloh had like an ear infection and like Shamia was losing it. We're like, it's an ear infection. This is like a little dramatic. But now it turns out we have more insight, which is we knew that she had health complications, but I don't think we realized that she has like a real issues with immunity. So she is just like really nervous and she feels guilty because she's on this whole trip. And she's having fun and doing shot o'clock while her child is ill and may have to go to the doctor or the hospital tomorrow.
So then it turns into her crying and then everybody's supporting her. So now it's turned into like huge crying drama, right? So they're all back at the house trying to support her and they're all talking about how it's the worst thing that happens when you're a mom and your kid's sick or whatever. And then Britt's like, okay,
But Jamil, I love you so much, and I will have your back.
She's like, okay, thank you, Bridget.
No, we are sisters. We are best friends. I cannot believe something almost came between us tonight. We are born in the same womb. We come from the same mother.
It's like, okay, that's enough.
We will die together. We will go to heaven together. We will be together forever.
She's like, okay, thanks,
bro. We will all go down together. I am tattooing your face on my breast. I love you so much.
It's like, okay, then. She just did like a full monologue, like a 5-minute monologue. And everybody started off nice. And then by the end, they were like, this bitch is crazy.
Yeah, because the music was very serious. It was very serious. And it was like, dun, 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 dun. But then like Britt's going so over the top that it eventually moves into coconut music. Where it's like, boom, ba, do, do, do. And she's like, I'm going to do a shot for Amy Show. So she does a shot and then she takes off her top and she's like flopping her boobs on the counter, which look, we don't care if people are naked and whatever, we're body positive, all that stuff. But when she's sitting there talking about like, I'm not going to do a shot because that's like, we're not like, you know, like college girls, we're classy women. So if you're going to play like the classy card, knowing that like probably flopping your boobs out on camera, like that people would probably, the same people who would care about doing shots in college, the classiness people would probably be like raise an eyebrow at this. I'm like, it just shows that she's just so like full of it. Again, I'm not saying that I think it's classless that she's doing it, but I'm just saying that she's like kind of promoting some sort of value system.
Well, then, 1 minute she's Miss Manners and the next minute yes. she's like flopping her tits on the table, you know?
Yeah. So it's like, which one is it going to be? Right.
Yeah, and they all agree. Everybody's like, Phaedra's like, what in the magic city is going on here? So, yeah, that's that one for today. Wow. So Britt doesn't even show up to the reunion, which...
Oh, yeah.
What are they even going to do for this reunion? You don't have Kenya. You don't have Britt. We're going to have to hear about Waffles and how terrible Ralph is and how bad the nanny is for this whole reunion. This reunion's going to suck. What are they going
to
do?
I'm in it for the waffle content. I'm actually okay with Britt not being there, to be honest, because she's awful. But the reunion will be a little challenging. We're going to get into it. The things that we're most likely going to be talking about tonight is she's not showing up for the reunion. She's suing Bravo for $20 million. And on top of that, she's also went onto social media and announced that she wasn't even in the photos that Kenya was sending around. So it's a shit show. And we will dive all into it tonight on Crappy Hour.
Okay, everybody. Well, thanks for being here. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com for tickets in Seattle and L.A. In Seattle this week, we'll be doing Real Housewives of Miami. In L.A., I think we're going to do The Valley. Go get your tickets right now. Also, we're on demand today. Thanks for everybody being on video with us. And if you don't want to pay for videos, you can still watch them on our YouTube for free a week later after they're released on Patreon. And go check out the Love Island bonuses also on Patreon. Love you guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt. We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
She gets an A, it's Kelly B. Kristen the Piston Anderson. Get a B in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K-Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP. It's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen. It's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose. We're on the floor with Molly Dorsett. There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do the Sydney Congdon.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.